further ado, I'd like to introduce our first speaker. I got to know Jim a little bit. His name's Jim King. He's from the Wednesday Hugs Instead of Drugs meeting in Greensburg. He's been a part of my recovery. I'm anxious to hear his lead and what he has to say.
My name's Jim and I am an addict.
First,
let me just say that, like, I'm nervous. This never gets any easier. Especially, like, when there's people I know. Makes it a little harder for me to bullshit you guys, so, I guess I'll just go in right into, share my experience, with why I'm here. I go on and on and try to tell you why you guys are here, but I know why I'm here. There's a girl that brought this topic up, Thursday night at a meeting I was at this week, and she wanted to hear some experience, strength, and hope on the first two pages of the basic text. And most of us were like, what are those first two pages of the basic text? Well, those first two pages are blank. And it gives me the chills when I say that because, like, I tried real hard to make my addiction work. We talk about bottoms and stuff, and for me, like, I tried a lot of different things to find success and use, and it was a painful experience. My addiction took me back and forth across the country 4 or 5 times. I tried the geographical cure many times in many places. I tried all kinds of combinations of this and that, and I definitely earned my seat here. I qualify. And I'm not going to go into what I used because I'm sure you guys earned your seat too. So you guys don't need to know what I used. I'm here because I was desperate. I exhausted all my excuses. Our basic text talks about not having any reservations to understand powerlessness. And it was easy for me to get because I tried to equate this. These excuses that I used directly related to the people that love me the most, which is my mother and my wife. And I used some lame-ass excuses. You know what I mean? And my disease had me thinking, like, that nobody knew that I was getting high. Right? This is my disease telling me, nobody knows. Like, I weighed 118 pounds, and I would stay up for days. Like, days, and I thought I looked good, I thought I smelled good, and I thought nobody knew that I was getting high. So when I got clean, and you guys told me to sit in my seat a while, start doing some step work, and start looking at me for a change, I was able to see that, like, I had tried all my excuses. I had used them all up. And that's a pretty hard pill to swallow, like, I don't know, it was like the desperation is a gift for me. Because without this desperation, like, all the denial was gone. Like, that shit was shattered for me. When I came in here, I was like, those two pages of the basic text, I was like, please help me. And not the please help me, but please help me. Just please. I threw my hands up in the air and I said, my way sucks. And I don't know what your way is, but it's got to be better than what I've done. I could always polish the turd, you know what I mean? Clean myself up, get a job, get a car, bring myself back up to where it looked good on the outside and inside. I was just a wreck, just shallow and void of anything spiritual. And so I come in here and it just started with one little piece of surrender at a time in a moment. And for me, it's still like that. My higher power gives me all these opportunities to surrender. And every day, I have all these opportunities to surrender. And I either surrender to something spiritual in a new way, or I try to live that same old lie. and I can live that same old lie and not use. We call it cleaning crazy around here, I think. And I've tried some of that stuff. You know, and it makes me hard. It makes it hard for me to stay here if I'm not living clean, you know. Living the spiritual principles that we talk about. I've done a lot of dirty shit in recovery. You know, and those are the hardest amends for me to make. You know, because you guys are my brothers and sisters. I can't be around my biological family because they're all addicts. And I just can't. For me, you know, I just can't be around that. It's the barbershop for me. I don't know. You know why I'm here? I continue to come because I know my way still doesn't work. I know it doesn't work. Like, this thing affects me in every area of my life. It's not in most areas of my life. It's in every area of my life. And I have to be real careful because my disease tells me, in the same breath, it'll tell me, you're okay. And then, in the same sentence, it'll tell me, you're worthless. And I'm like, what? How am I supposed to deal with that? I know how I dealt with it. I got high. So I bring this confusion to the table, and I say, man, I got this shit going on. What do I do? That's why we have sponsorship, and that's why we develop a we and fellowship, and that's why we have these retreats to open up some of those doors that we wouldn't normally have, to, like build relationships with somebody that we wouldn't normally have an opportunity to build a relationship. Because I know I get comfortable in going to the meetings that are in my local area. And this gives me an opportunity to branch out and open up and let some other people into my life. Like, I'm here because I'm afraid. Like, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to stay stuck in that desperation. Like, I used against my will for a long time. Like, I continued to get high and didn't like it for a long time. And had to repeat that same old shit, that same old lie, tell my wife and the people that love me, my family, that no, I'm not doing it when I am. You know what I mean? And I lived like that for a long time. And that's what I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of that lonely state of desperation that I was in for the longest time. And it sucked. And I don't know. The desperation is the gift for me. That's why I'm here, to stay connected. I don't know. My disease was like at the last minute telling me, oh, don't go, you know. And like, there's some new guys that are in our area that lift me up, man. You know, some new people in my area that lift me up and give me hope. I've had some real tragic shit happen to me in recovery. I buried my father, almost buried my mother in the same year last year. Broke myself up physically pretty bad, broke both of my legs and both of my feet at the same time, and didn't get high over it. Me and my wife just lost a baby about 6 weeks ago, and 6 to 8 weeks ago, like my disease will get on me and tell me that shit is my fault. You know what I mean? And that's hard. Like, you know, I'm doing the right things for my recovery. You know what I mean? I'm taking care of Jim Teed. I'm doing my basics and helping out and reaching out to a newcomer and taking care of the shit that I need to take care of. And my higher power throws me a curveball and says, "You can get through this." And I used over some little stupid shit, right? So my disease will take this major tragedy and say, "All right, let's get it in. This is what you've been waiting for, fucker. This is it." So I have to be real careful, you know, and not flip it around, like, and not walk away from the real basic thing for me is like getting up and surrendering and reading some literature and start praying, start my day with prayer. Because, you know, the alternative for me is the dope sickness and the cold sweats and the hoping I can make it to the bathroom and don't shit on myself. You know what I mean? This is the alternative for me. I do these basics in my life and I don't have to, you know what I mean? I don't have to get up and live like that. So I get up and I pray and I read some Narcotics Anonymous literature and I set a priority for myself. You know what I mean? I'm going to talk to a recovering addict or I'm going to a meeting every day. Every day. I mean, that's a basic part of my program. I'm gonna share some of my life with a recovering addict, whether it's through a meeting or on the phone or in person every day. Because I saw the dope man every day. Every day. There wasn't a day that went by for 20 years that I wasn't finding ways or means to get more. Every single day, like, I didn't take a break. So, like, these basics, you know, that I had to do in my life and I take a moment to reflect on my day, and I end my day with prayer. You know, that's what my days are. You can look at all the days I've been here. That's what my days consist of. And I've had some real amazing spiritual things happen to me in the process of recovery. I had a sponsee like get a year clean. He's not clean today, but I watched him get a year clean. Like, that's some serious shit, man. You know, that's the stuff that keeps me coming back. Is to see people that come in a state of desperation and watch them grow, man. That's so uplifting for me, and that's where I'm at right now in my recovery. I'm like, you know what? I'm focused on trying to help these people, and just let them be where they're at, you know, and which is a hard thing, is just to let them be where they're at and just try to continue to lift them up as they lift me up. And such an amazing thing. And even though I'm not their sponsor, you know, I still want to be part of their life. Because there were some guys around here that I know that put up with me, you know what I mean, that put up with me and tolerated my shit and allowed me just to grow, you know, grow out of the sickness that I was in. And so I try to turn that around and share that with some of the people who just come in. I don't know. Like I said, I have a real healthy fear of picking up. Like, I had no concept of the first one. I didn't like... I like to think I'm intelligent, but I'm not, because the most basic shit eluded me. Like, some real basic stuff that we're supposed to learn when we're kids, that, like, I just plain never got or ignored. I thought it was, like, somewhere, like, the 944,310th one in succession of the same thing that got me. And you guys told me, no, it's the first one. I was like, wow, really? Okay, I can work with that. The book says I have the greatest possible advantage over my disease as long as I don't put the first one in me. That's some powerful shit. Like, I've always been the type of person to go right up to the edge or to the finish line and walk away. For whatever reason, like, that was my MO my whole life, even before I started using, to get right up to where I could see the finish line and just walk away, and had no follow-through and no commitment. And I don't care what you say about me, man, I'm about staying clean. And you can point out my character defects for the day as long as I don't give a shit. Like, I'm about staying clean. That's why I'm here. Because I need to stay clean. I can't do shit. I can't function. I do not have the ability to make a healthy decision if I'm getting high. That's not to say that I make healthy decisions. I make a lot of unhealthy decisions in my recovery. But I have the ability to make a healthy decision. That's something I didn't have before, you know, which was a major revelation to me, to be able to share with another recovering addict and say, how do I do this? How do I get through this? And the most simple things, like when I came in, I can remember sharing about I had this big aquarium in my living room, and it was one of the things I loved to do when I got high, was work on this aquarium. It takes a lot of work to maintenance this thing. And I was afraid, and it got stinky. And it smelled like shit in my living room, you know? And I shared about it in a meeting. I was like, man, I'm scared to clean this tank. What do I do? And another recovering addict that has an aquarium helped me get through this process, you know? And I was like, wow, all I got to do is ask for help, and I'll get it. Really? For the fish tank? I have the same problem. I have this project that I'm working on. It's this truck that started out as something real simple, replacing floor pans in a truck, and it's 3.5 years later and about $20,000 out of my pocket. And the engine's still in pieces in my garage. But it's getting done, you know what I mean? It's really getting done, and I've come to stumbling blocks along the way, and I've had to ask for help, you know? And I've gotten some really great help, man. There's a guy that's camping with us. I don't think I see him here, but he's over at our camp, and he's really helped me get through putting this engine back together. And I was, like, furious, man. I dropped, like, $4,000 on just getting this engine to my house, and we put it in, we blew it up. We blew it up, man. We didn't even get that sumbitch. It didn't even go a foot. And we blew it up. So we got to pull this damn thing out and rebuild it again. And it's been a major process. It's cost me another $2,000 just to get the parts to put it back together. And it's still not in the truck. And there's another thing, like, I would have used over. I would have seriously used over that shit. And it wouldn't have got done, you know what I mean? It just wouldn't have got done. I don't know why the hell I'm sharing about this. It's just where I'm at in my recovery today. It's a pretty cool thing to be able to start something. You know what I mean? And just stay committed. And not live like I used to live, man. I hated myself for that shit. I was always good at when I applied myself to something. I was fairly good at it, you know? And then I would just quit. You know, I don't want to live like that today. I want to be remembered for my actions. Not what I'm wearing, not what I'm driving, not what somebody else said, but what you see me do in my life. That's what I want to be remembered for. And I can't do that without you guys. Because if you leave me alone for more than, like, 3 days, I'll be doing some sick shit. Like, I'll be, like, my spirituality will just go, boom. You know what I mean? In 3 days. You know what I mean? And that's why I stay in the literature. I stay on the phone. I just stay connected. You know what I mean? I stay in the middle because that edge scares me, man. I'm afraid. I don't know what happens to you guys when you use, but I know what happens to me when I use. In the year 2000, me and my wife stopped somewhere, and somebody offered us some methamphetamines, and we had been clean off the shit for some time. And we looked across each other, and we said, we can do this just once, right? Yeah. $300,000 later, from the state of Arizona to the state of Washington and out here, running for myself. And still didn't stay clean when I got here. I just picked up heroin when I got here. Because that's what was available. That's how I use whatever I can find. I will use whatever I can find. You know what I mean? And I don't know. Like, I got to touch on the higher power thing real quick before I turn it over. I had this hatred toward God. You know what I mean? I tried to tell myself that I didn't believe in a God, but I've always believed in God, and I had this hatred for God, and I've just been blessed to hang on to my seat long enough to open my mind wide enough to let God into my life. And my higher power has always been there and always taken care of me. You know what I mean? Like I said, he's blessed me with some amazing spiritual things in my life. Me and my girlfriend had a baby when we were 14 years old, and we put her up for adoption when we were 14. And I'm able to have a relationship with my daughter today, who just turned 21 on Wednesday, because I'm clean. You know what I mean? And that would not be possible. That door would not be open to me if I was getting high. Period. It would just not be there because, like, I know how I use. She could have approached me, but I'm like, no. You know what I mean? That's how I use because I'm self-centered. I know how I am clean, self-centered. You add the drugs to me, and I isolate. You will not find me unless you're the dope man. I have some amazing men in my life today. I never had a spiritual connection to another man until I came to Narcotics Anonymous, and it still continues to be the hardest thing for me to do is to share with another man on a spiritual level, and I have to like fucking force myself to do it. And it's the best thing that I can do for myself is share my shit with another man. Cling on to this shit, you know what I mean? So I keep coming around, keep filling my seat, keep doing service work, keep making coffee, keep coming to retreat and cooking shit for other people. I don't even care if I know you come up and eat. I don't care. I've been blessed to if you told me what to do when I was getting high, I would tell you, go fuck yourself. That was my attitude, because I thought I knew everything. I've been blessed to sit in my seat long enough and have some people tell me that I don't know shit. Keep coming back. You don't know shit. Keep coming back anyway, you know. So I say, okay, yeah, I don't know shit. Sometimes I know a few things about this or that, but you know, I know that I need to keep coming back and keep opening my mind and keep reminding myself that I am those first two pages of the basic text, no matter how much clean time I have. I am those first two pages. If you remove me, if you remove all the signs of Narcotics Anonymous from my life, I will be that same person that I once was. If I don't have the change in my life that Narcotics Anonymous gives me in my life, I will be the same person and the same person will use. I don't want to be that same person. That's why I keep filling my seat. That's why I keep coming back. That's why I hang out with people. Sometimes I don't like people. Most people I don't like. Honestly, I'm not too fond of people. That's why I took that too. And I just don't want to be that close to people for, you know, a hug. Yeah, I love it. But after that, not so much. I don't know. I need you guys. I need this program. I can look my mother in the eyes and not see that friggin' look that my mother used to give me. You know what I mean? You know what I mean. You know what that mother looked like. Are you serious? You're trying to excuse on me again, bullshit? I can tell you that I'm going to be in a location and be there early. I can do that today. I can share some experience, strength, and hope that I never had. I never had that in my life. That's all from Narcotics Anonymous. It's all from sponsorship. It's all from step work and footwork and showing up and doing service work, man. If you have no experience with service work, man, you better get a home group and start making some coffee. Quit. You know, get a sponsor. Get in the middle. Get involved. Like I said a couple times, I'm here because I have a fear of that state of desperation, and I thank God that I still have that fear of desperation. And I know that if I do the stuff that you guys tell me to do, whether I feel like it or not, just do it. Whether I understand it or not, just do it. That I don't have to use, no matter what. I love you guys. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Jim. Up next, I just had the pleasure of meeting Silvio M. He's from the Monday night Hubbard Howell meeting, Hubbard, Ohio. Without any further ado, here you go.
family. My name's Sylvia. I'm a grateful recovering addict. And before I share, I'd like to read a paragraph here at the beginning of the text. Read it every time I share it because it means a whole lot to me. We cannot change the nature of the addict or addiction. We can help change the old lie, once an addict, always an addict, by striving to make recovery more available. God help us to remember this difference. If you would, please let's take a moment of silence so I could get out of the way and so that we could pray for the addict who still is suffering while we are in this meeting here. Amen. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. One more thing that I'd like to ask everybody to do, please bear with me, is just stand up, please. Hug the person on your left and hug the person on your right so we can feel the unconditional love in here. Okay, thank you, everyone. You know, I've been doing that for quite a while before I share, and it's for a couple reasons. It allows not only me to get comfortable with you, but you to get comfortable with me. And, you know, the primary reason is, if it weren't for that hug, I may not be here right now. You know, and I could, probably a lot of us could say that. It was those hugs that kept us coming back. So, I want to thank the retreat committee for asking me to share. I thought I was actually sharing tomorrow night and found out I was sharing tonight when I got here. So, I had it all planned out. I was going to read and pray and everything tomorrow, and everything would be all, you know, all cool by the time I had to share, and but God had a different plan. So, you know, why are we here? The first thing that I had to look at was why I was here before I figured out why we were here. Okay, and I'll tell you, for me, can everybody hear me okay? Okay, for me, when I first got here, the reason I was here is because the court system thought I had a problem. Okay, and it was just that simple to me. And, you know, I thought that I could appease the court system, get a piece of paper signed, maybe I would take the suggestion of getting a sponsor and working the steps, and, you know, but I think my way will work because, of course, my way always works. You know, it had gotten me so far up to that point, you know, and I thought that I could come and go to 90 days worth of meetings, work all 12 steps, wake up from a bad dream, and my felony would be gone along with that bad dream. Come to realize that that's not how the program of Narcotics Anonymous works. You know, I had to, in looking back at that time, and it says that, you know, and I thank Jim for mentioning about the fear, because it says that in the chapter. We were running. We were afraid. We were desperate. We were afraid. And it keeps mentioning the word afraid. We were running because we were afraid. And what were we afraid of? I was afraid of finding out who I was. I didn't want to know who I was because I didn't like who I was. It says in the book right here. No matter how far we ran, we always carried the fear with us. We were hopeless, useless, and lost. Self-esteem was non-existent. It says we were lost. I was lost out there for many, many, many years. And you know, once I started realizing that my perception of the way I things thought were, or the way that I think thought things would be for me as far as my recovery, when I realized that that was wrong, that's when I realized why I was really here. Because I had hit that crossroads where I wanted to die, but I wanted to live at the same time. And I didn't know how. And I was afraid, and I was running. And I was doing shit that I had never done in my whole life. Me, I committed a felony. I robbed somebody. I took money from a club that I used to help run. With no regards for anybody else in that club or the meaning of that whole club. It was a fraternal order club. I'm not going to mention the name of the club. But it was there for the good of others. And I took money from this club. Because I wanted to die. I was committing death on the time payment plan, is what the basic text says. So when I realized that that was the real reason I was here, that's when I was able to start taking advantage of this program and all the benefits that it offers. Benefits? Did I say the word benefits? Knock me out for saying that. Blessings. All the blessings that this program offers us. If only we take advantage of it. You know, it says, I mean, listen to this. This is a powerful, powerful sentence here. Failure had become our way of life, and self-esteem was non-existent. Non-existent. I didn't know who I was. I thought I was a piece of shit. Because you know what? That's how I grew up. From the time that I was a kid, I can remember wanting to be somebody else. I can remember wanting to belong to a different church. I can remember wanting to be in a different family, in a different school. See, I had this dis-ease back then. I was not at ease with who I was. Those are some of the reasons that I came here. No, those are some of the reasons I stayed here. Why I came here, remember, was because the court system thought I had a problem. So, you know, I see this over and over and over again, myself included. It doesn't matter what the reasons are that you come here. Jim said it. I have my head up my ass saying stupid shit, doing stupid shit. And they said, keep coming back. Keep coming back. This is a program of attraction rather than promotion. I didn't know what that meant. It means walk the walk. Walk the way you're talking. Because anybody could come up here and sound good. Anybody could sound good in a meeting. How are you living outside the meeting? What are you doing after the retreat? You know, the reason, what I was starting to say is, you know what, I see it time and time again. The people, it doesn't matter what the reason is that you come to the meeting in the beginning. If the court system thinks you have a problem, that's okay, keep coming back. If you're here to save your marriage, that's okay, keep coming back. If you're here because your parents are riding your ass, or the law's riding your ass, that's okay, keep coming back. Because you know what happens eventually is the miracles start to happen. You don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens, and you know what's going to happen. Eventually, you're coming for the right reasons. You know, and don't get it twisted. Don't get me wrong. Not everybody's here for the right reasons. I made that mistake when I was new. Thought everybody was here for the right reasons. And, you know, I always say, you know, they say don't judge people. And that's all fine and dandy. But you know what? I'm going to judge somebody, find out if I want them to be my sponsor. I'm going to judge somebody to find out if I want them in my support group. I'm going to judge somebody to see if I want to hang out with them after the meeting. So there's two kinds of people here in these rooms. People you want to be like, and people you don't want to be like. It's that simple. Why are we here? We are here because of the first tradition. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Anybody ever tried doing this recovery stuff on their own? And how'd that work out for you? It's that simple. We are here to learn to get our priorities straight. My perception of everything before I got here was all skewed, and it still ain't all that good now. But I'm getting better at it. My priorities were all messed up when I was out there. Lovely weather, isn't it? Woo! I love this program. This is cool. Where else would a bunch of dope fiends be on a Friday night in the middle of the pouring down rain? At least we're smart enough now that we got some structure above us, right? We're here. I'm here. Get my priorities straight. And you know what? Before I got here, I only had one priority. Me. What could you do for me? What could I get from you? How is this going to benefit me? That's what I was all about before I got here. Now I have a priority list that's a little different than that. And I'll share it with you. And this list is in descending order, okay? Pardon me. On the top of this list, number one is God. Number two is my recovery. Number three is myself. And number four is everything else I got going on in my life. And I'll explain why my list is in that order. Because if I don't have God, I don't have recovery. If I don't have recovery, I don't have myself. If I don't have myself, screw all those other priorities because they ain't getting done. Just like they didn't used to. I'm here to try to learn how to live life on life's terms. Here's another, right here in the beginning. We use drugs to cover up our feelings. And did whatever was necessary to get them. You know, I can remember before I had hit the height of my addiction, still I was still an addict and didn't know it, or didn't want to admit it, or whatever the case was. I thought I was a functioning. I got control. It'll be different this time. And I used to be on the way to cop dope and go, look at that crackhead. I'll never be like that. And you know what? You know, there's two words in recovery. The yes and the agains. Okay? I wasn't in recovery then, but I hadn't hit that point yet. Okay? And sometimes I find myself in my recovery hitting my head against the wall again and again and going, why am I here again? The yes and the agains. But it said right there, and I'm a big highlighter. If you look, this book's been through some stuff. If you got a basic text and it don't look all scraggly like this, open it up and read it. So I read this. I found some, you know, it says, we use drugs to cover up our feelings and do whatever was necessary to get them. And up above that, I have written in the margin there, thoughts, feelings, actions, and reactions. And, you know, whenever somebody asks me to sponsor them, one of the first things that I ask them to do is to keep a daily journal. And that's exactly what I ask them to keep a daily journal of. Thoughts, feelings, actions, and reactions. Because, think about it, our disease is a disease of thinking and feeling. And the way that we tend to want to react on obsessive thinking or feeling is by acting or reacting in a compulsive manner, not the right way. So this disease affects all those areas. And I'll tell you what, I say this like all the time, like I shared about character defects last weekend, and pardon me. One of the things that I used to do all the time was, if somebody cut me off on the road, Okay, so you know what I'm going to say, though. If somebody would cut me off on the road, I'd get all kinds of ticked off. I'd flip them the finger 100 out of 100 times, along with using some choice words, and maybe even wanting to pull over and verbally tell them how I felt about their driving skills. Well, you know, because of recovery, because of the process of recovery, because of the step work that's allowed me to peel the layers of the onions. Peel the layers of, like the fifth step says, the masks have to go. You know, because of the step work that has allowed me to uncover my mask, I don't have to act like an ass all the time. I don't have to act like an ass some of the time. Some of the time I choose to act like an ass. Okay, but the point is, just because I think something doesn't mean I have to do it. Just because I think flip them the bird doesn't mean I have to do it. Just because I think pull them over and get this baseball bat out from under your seat doesn't mean I have to do it. And it's the same way with the feelings. If I feel a certain way that I know is wrong, I don't have to act out on that. That's why I'm here, you know? And let me talk about the unity for a minute, because I didn't realize how much my personal recovery depends on NA unity. Like I said, I had tried to do this program. No, I had tried to do my program my way. Says right in that chapter, we substitute one drug for another. We did, you know, we took on lovers. We moved. We did this. We did that. We substituted. Okay, we were trying to fill that void, that dis-ease, and sorry. Danning. This weather is terrific, isn't it? No, I lost my train of thought there for a second. What was I? Refresh my mind. What was I saying? The substitution. Dis-ease. You know, and it's a terrific thing. Yeah, you know, I do that once in a while. I forget shit. Anybody else been there? I feel like, you know, I just celebrated 7 years last month, and sometimes I feel like, thank you. I couldn't have done it without each and every one of you. But you know what? Sometimes I feel like I took this drug that had a 7-year time delay on it or something. Because, honestly, it's like, it makes sense sometimes. And, you know, we caused ourselves a lot of damage. That's another reason we're here. You know, because we don't have to do that. Basic text says, buying death on the time payment plan. And, you know, I've been kind of going through a couple situations over the last couple weeks, and I'm going to share those because I was told that whenever you're feeling something, you need to share it, and the more you share, the lessens the pain, and it also helps you get through it. You know, one thing, and this goes with what you said, you can't be around your family, okay? And I stopped to see my previous sponsor earlier today, and he's met my family, so he kind of knows what I'm talking about. But I said, you know, sometimes I feel like, they've gotten worse over since I've been clean, or just that I think they've gotten worse because I've grown, or a combination of the two. And bottom line is, it really don't matter because, you know, I was, when I first got clean, I was so pumped about recovery, man. Get in the middle, stay away from the edge. And I still am so pumped about recovery. But my point is that I thought that just because I was changing, I thought that everybody close to me should be changing too. And, you know, come to find out that that's only the self-centered part of this disease talking, saying that everybody should be doing what I'm doing. But I've been going through some family dysfunctional. Nobody else here has a dysfunctional family, do you? Okay. Been going through some issues with my mother and my sister and their lack of financial capabilities and the bills all getting behind. And, you know, I was really torqued because I've been making my mom's last several house payments while we were waiting for this reverse mortgage to come through for her to help her out. And then I went up her house to help her straighten out her bills. And the reason I made the house payments was because I figured it would help her start getting back on track. So I go over there, and she hands me her current bills, and I look at her electric bill, and it's $700. And I look at her sewer bill, and it's $400, and they're going to put a lien on the house. And I look at her house insurance, and it was due last week. And you know what? I'm sorry. I flipped out, okay? I lost recovery for a few minutes there, okay? And because I was pissed. But you know what? Now that I've backed away, and I've talked to my sponsor, and I've talked to my support group, and I've talked to other people that have said, you know what? I've been through something like that. Where else can you go and share dysfunctional shit that they would throw most people in jail for even talking about? And other people say, I got some experience with that. I've been there. Okay? So you know what? The situation hasn't changed. I know it's not going to change. I accept the fact that it's not going to change. It probably never will change. But see, because it's my family, I place an expectation there. And I've learned early on in recovery, have no expectations, will never be disappointed. Works quite well, you know. And with an issue that is not close to my heart, though. Because it's hard not to have expectations on family members, you know? And another thing that I've been going through is I work with juvenile addicts. I've been working in my position for about 2.5 years now. I've been seeking my addictions counselor's license, my CAC license, and you know, I finally got all the paperwork ready. I got all my training certificates ready, and I sent in my the fee and the application and everything. And a week later, I got a denial letter in the mail. I'm like, I sent in everything I was supposed to. Don't you know who I am? You know, I mean, it was my thinking. And call her up. At the certification board and you know, there's a problem with my job description. They're not accepting this. I don't work during primary service hours, blah, 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 blah. And that's all I hear is blah, 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 blah. Because, you know what, I've been working my ass off for this thing, and I want it. And, you know, all of a sudden, self-pity sets in. Why me? Well, you know, I know that whenever I experience self-pity, I have to remember the things that I'm grateful for. It says in the reading in February 21st in the Just for Today book, self-pity or recovery, it's our choice. Can't be in both worlds at the same time. And there's one sentence in that Just for Today reading, it says, self-pity is displaced by gratitude. And I learned early on in recovery, a grateful addict will never use, never use, never use. We have a choice. We don't have to use. It's a choice. And you know what? When I first found that out, I was like, really? I don't have to use no more? How do you do that? That's why we're here, you know. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. And I know some of you out there, some of you I don't know, but believe me, my life depends on each and every one of you out there. And if it wasn't for people like you, who knows where I'd be? Jails, institutions, death, dereliction. Thank God that He chose recovery for me. Thank God that I chose to work and live recovery. Because I tell you what, this is the greatest show on earth. It absolutely is. So listen, if you're new out there, man, just keep coming back. Because you know what? That's what they told me, and I didn't understand, but I kept coming back. Just keep coming back. No matter what the reason is that you're here, just keep coming back. And if you've been around for a while, you also keep coming back, because you owe it not only to yourself, but you owe it to the newcomer too. That's all I got. Thanks.